today we are, for all intents and purposes, in a post-Christian era.
Faith is privately engaging but publicly irrelevant.
We basically divorced our religion from our culture.
Christians have just really backed out of their responsibilities in so many areas.
Our problem is that we have offended the Lord and lost his needed favor.
As biblical Christians, we need to resist the New World Order.
One of the things that you've got to get rid of for a New World Order is you have to trash Christianity.
We have a nation of biblical illiterates. Only 11% of Christians now read their Bible every day.
There are millions of Christians with saved souls and Babylonian minds.
The church compromised with the world system. If the church stood up right now, it'd be gone in a minute.
Government begins in the heart of man.
The function of government is to limit sin.
There's no religion without law.
We should attack concepts, ideas, pulling down strongholds, demolishing arguments.
Religion is always scientific, and science is always religious.
Even a pagan can see something when it's working right.
Until we have a more pure witness to the world, we can hardly expect to see the world change.
I believe the businessman has to come into accountability.
Prosperity is not a goal. It is always a byproduct.
There's a new wisdom that God is giving to the church.
Therefore, we ought to transform our society.
If all of us did our job in caring for the hurting, defending the helpless, there would be no need for an ACLU.
God is looking for participants.
Shaking believers out of a false sense of security.
The issue is ultimately going to come right back today as to whether or not we will acknowledge the lordship of Christ or the lordship of Caesar.
God's bringing us back to a restored church with a restored gospel.
I've never seen so many tears of repentance.
The born-again church in every city is to be one church.
We are people of impending prophetic fulfillment.
You are about to climb into the hearts and minds of 80 Christian authors and leaders. Hold on tight. This is the Warfare Series. The Warfare Series is designed as a helicopter survey over many of the critical issues facing Christians and Americans as we approach the 21st century. The goal is to equip you to win the battle for your mind, your money, and your government. Never before has such a diverse array of leadership perspectives been assembled in a single audio resource. As producer of a national talk radio program, Worldview Perspectives, David Bradshaw discovered that many solutions to today's complex issues can be found in the Bible and from the wisdom of a multitude of counselors.
Hi, my name is Dave Bradshaw. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6 says that by wise guidance you will wage war, and in the abundance of counselors there is victory. The Warfare Series is a unique symposium of more than 80 leading Christian scholars, thinkers, pastors, and teachers with one common goal: to help Christians develop a comprehensive, integrated, biblical worldview.
Mr. Bradshaw skillfully guides the listener through this unique 16-hour audio journey with over 80 of the most respected Christian minds in the world.
History is replete with this testimony that counselors determined the destiny of kings. Moses, Joseph, Daniel, Nehemiah. Continually we see that God has given special favor to those men who understand the ways of God and are able to communicate it to the culture around. American culture is at a turning point today. Procrastination is no longer possible. The hour is a God-given moment of destiny, not to be shrunk from, but seized with decisiveness. And the Warfare Series will help you do that by connecting you with some of the best and clearest Christian problem solvers of this generation. You know, listener, we're all born into a war. Unfortunately, we weren't allowed to take a vote whether we wanted to be in it. It's a battle for our mind, a battle for the law and government. It's a battle for the finances and the money of the planet. It's about to move into high gear, and we want you to be prepared. Here are just a few samples clipped out of part one of the Warfare Series, Ideological Warfare in the 1990s. Listen now to Dr. Jay Grimstead.
Two worldviews are vying now for the allegiance of all nations. One is a biblical worldview based on a biblical view of law and society, and the other is an anti-biblical view based on a view that opposes the Bible as being the basis for law for society.
You know, there's four prepositions in the 17th chapter of John. Jesus said in his speech, praying to his Father, he said, Father, these men you gave me, they're in the world. But he says, I've taken them out of the world. He says, they're in it physically, but I've taken them out of it spiritually and morally. Then he says a third thing. He said, Father, they're in the world, and I've taken them out of it, and they're not of it. And the fourth preposition, as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world.
What God wants us to focus on is not dying and going to heaven.
Dennis Peacock.
It almost sounds like I'm saying blasphemous, untrue things to say that because we've been so brainwashed and so oriented to dying and going to heaven. What that means is this. It means Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. Bring your will and your kingdom here is the focus.
I think when you look at Scripture and you look at God,
Steve Fry,
I'm obligated to believe that what he says is true. He said, all things are possible to them that believe, which means that God can do anything he wants. And if he wants to demonstrate something of heaven on earth through us, he certainly can do that. I believe he will do it.
Dr. Charles Simpson.
Christ is indeed building the church and forming it. And I think the secular world is something of the furnace of affliction in which he forms it. That the issue is not teaching the church to say glory to God, but building a church that makes the world say glory to God.
Paul Jaley, author and educator.
Many Christians have not really gone back to the Bible to deduce a true biblical worldview. We've accepted conclusions from the past, from tradition, that may not be all that accurate, or we simply do not want to think it through. Many Christians do not want to bother with a worldview at all, not realizing that the ideas they hold will begin to produce consequences.
Daryl Miller.
Historically, what has happened, the leadership in the church began to think more as humanists than as biblical theists. Even though they were Christians, were thinking from a non-biblical mindset. There are millions of Christians with saved souls and Babylonian minds.
Cal Thomas, author and journalist.
The reason the liberal worldview has taken over has nothing to do with the numbers or the power or the wisdom of the liberals. We have a nation of biblical illiterates. A USA Today poll earlier this year found that only 11% of Christians now read their Bible every day.
Francis Frangipane, author and pastor.
There's a new wisdom that God is giving to the church. Our wisdom is to obey the Lord. What are the strategies that God says are going to help take our cities for the Lord Jesus Christ? And one of the main strategies is that the born-again church in every city is to be one church.
The time has come to put away airhead spectator Christianity and find our place of service to our generation, a job for which Christ has called, empowered, and commanded us to do.
You know, most Christians assemble their worldview in a shaky process that I refer to as the great Easter egg hunt. We dash around picking up colorful eggs here and there, some from our pastor, some from the radio and TV, some from books, and some from the traditions of men. But most end up with a jumble of multicolored eggs, and unfortunately, many are confused about what to do with it all. That's why the Warfare Series will help you discover the truth that the kingdom of God involves some things old and some things new. Let's recover a biblical continuity and learn from history so we don't have to repeat it. Listen now to Peter Marshall.
The founding fathers had a vision of a new society based on God's word that would put God's word into practice spiritually, emotionally, mentally, economically, in every way. This vision was really the basis for America. That's the vision we need to recover, which is a group of free people governing themselves according to the Ten Commandments of God.
David Barton.
Out of all the quotes of the Founding Fathers, 34% of the quotes of the Founding Fathers came directly out of the Bible. For example, with the three branches of government, they pulled that out of Isaiah 33:22. The separation of powers, they pulled out of Jeremiah 17:9. Tax exemptions for churches, they pulled out of Ezra 7:24.
Dennis Peterson.
I am actually, in a way, glad that the evolutionists are pushing as hard as they are, because it's forcing Christians, Bible-believing Christians, to get serious about teaching their kids the truth about where they came from.
Dr. Duane Gish.
Regardless of the age of the earth, whether 6 or 10,000 years or 6 or 10 billion years, the evidence demands creation. Sir Fred Hoyle, assuming that the universe was 20 billion years old, calculated the probability of life evolving, came up to the conclusion that it was physically impossible. He said the probability of evolution was equal to the probability that a tornado sweeping through a junkyard would assemble a Boeing 747.
Dr. Hugh Ross.
Religion is always scientific, and science is always religious, and we need to open our eyes to the fact that there is overlap and not run from it, because when we run from it, we get into theological chauvinism.
Tall Brook.
The New Age thing is part of the whole softening of the underbelly in terms of entering the church. One of the things that you've got to get rid of for a New World Order is you have to trash Christianity. And that means the dumbing of them, that means manipulating them, it means making them passive. I think we are very accountable in fighting this thing and not becoming passive.
Paul McGuire.
As biblical Christians, we need to resist the New World Order because it's based on a philosophy that man is basically good. And we must remember that it is impossible to have global harmony without the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus Christ, ruling the global government of the world. The problem with the New World Order is it's attempting to erect a global government without the governor of that global government, who is God, in his proper place of rulership.
Franklin Sanders.
There is no such thing as global warming. There is no such thing as a threat from the ozone hole. There is no such thing as a threat of deforestation. There's just no such thing as almost every one of these environmental problems. The closer you get to the facts, the quicker the problem evaporates. Where is the calamity? Where is the emergency that these eco-maniacs, these eco-Nazis keep talking about? Well, they're not any calamities. They're not any. They are simply manipulating lies in order that they can take control of the world's resources and the world's people. And what they're creating is a new Nazi state based on this environmental religion. And don't kid yourself, there is a religion that's behind this, and it's the reinstitution of pagan Mother Earth worship.
The forces of evil have been manipulating our minds for too long. And the time has come for the church to tap into the mind of Christ and stand up for the truth. Dr. Ed Cole has said that the privatization of Christianity is but the first step toward the criminalization of Christianity. Here are some excerpts from part two of the Warfare series, Legal Warfare in the 1990s. You'll discover why the spiritual warfare will ultimately lead us into legal warfare. Here's Steve McDowell.
Government begins in the heart of man. And if that government doesn't exist, then we'll never bring solutions in the external realms of government.
Gary DeMar.
The kingdom of God is different. It operates from the inside out. And so kingdom manifestation comes when people act as kingdom subjects. Secondly, that kingdom manifests itself through the power of the Holy Spirit through us. We are more and more conformed to the image of Christ. We see more and more of that kingdom demonstrated in the world.
David Davidson.
The Bible views government from the bottom up, and it starts with the individual, and then it moves to the family, and then it goes to the church, and then there's voluntary associations of people. And then civil government is last, and biblically speaking, it is least. The function of government is to limit sin, because freedom, by biblical definition, is the absence of sin.
Dan Gibson.
And when we are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ and we stand for the oppressed, the widows, the orphan, the unborn child who's being led to the slaughter, when we stand like that, then we have a personal obligation to continue on with that representation before the magistrate. And Matthew 10:16-20 gives a clear guideline on that, that we will suffer persecution for his sake, and that we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, that we should go into the magistrate as a witness.
Jay Sekulow.
The courts are a weapon to use to make change take place. I mean, the ACLU and others have done it for years, and we're now waking up to the realization that, yes, it's time for us to make a difference. When citizens' rights are violated, we need to hold municipal governments and leadership into accountability. You know, the Bible's very clear. Whose laws are we going to obey? God's or man? We must obey God's, period.
Peter Kershaw.
The notion of incorporating a church, which really boils down to churches taking a license from the government, is actually a very ancient means by which government seeks to control the churches. This actually started with the very first church. Ultimately, if you study your church history, you'll discover that's the common denominator for why Christians were persecuted by the Romans. It was not based upon their worship of Jesus Christ, because the Romans had many deities, many gods under their jurisdiction that were worshipped, and Jesus Christ was really no threat. The threat came in that the disciples refused to take licenses under Caesar, and thereby making a formal declaration that Caesar would be sovereign over Jesus Christ.
John Weaver.
I believe the issue is ultimately going to come right back today as to whether or not we will acknowledge the lordship of Christ or the lordship of Caesar. God limits government to two simple functions. One of them is for the protection of the good, and the second one is for the punishment of the evil. And the Constitution says that the only power or authority that the government has is those powers that are expressed in the Constitution. And the government is limited to those powers. All others are reserved to the people or to the states respectively. We have to have an objective standard of what is evil and what is good. And the only way that we can have a standard where every one of us would agree as to good and evil is to have good and evil as determined in the Word of God.
Dr. Herb Titus.
We've lost any notion that law is fixed, uniform, and universal. People who belong to any particular nation have a duty to discover what those rules are and to state them and to apply them.
Mike Ferris.
The future of our country is bound up in the educational process. By parents taking their kids out of the public school process and putting them in homeschooling and in Christian schools, we have an effective weapon to prevent our kids from being indoctrinated into this worldview system.
Are we on the fast track to another American revolution? Is America past the point of being saved? Not at all. But America is at a turning point.
The church is America's only hope, but only a church that understands the times and can model biblical solutions. Economic stewardship is one of the key issues that is also dealt with in part three of the Warfare series, Financial Warfare in the 1990s. You'll discover why economics is a window into the soul, both individually and as a nation. It's time to face economic reality. Listen to Christian economist Ari McMaster.
We have an occult money system, no question about that. But anytime you have this kind of system, inevitably built into it is inflation, because you have to create more and more money in order to have the money necessary to pay the interest, which is created on the debt. We are moving in the direction and following the path much like Argentina took. Argentina, in 40 years, went from having the 6th to 7th highest standard of living in the world all the way down to 58th to 60th.
And retired Federal Reserve economists John Exter and John Pugsley.
We haven't had a historical precedent for the size of this debt pyramid before in the United States, and I certainly think that whatever happens is going to be catastrophic.
Oh, yes.
And the big debtors
will catch up. In fact, I do not know how the federal government are going to be able to respond to all this. It's going to be so catastrophic.
Dennis Peacock.
The American people are going to have to go back to a value base of understanding that human relationships transcend currencies. And the economic implications of that are enormous. If we really believed that human relationships and relationships in our families and the way that we respond to our families is really our only earthly security, it would radically change the American economy.
Dr. Charles Wolfe.
We have a creative, productive God. And the closer we are to him, the more creative and productive we should become. The economic problems of this country are at their root spiritual and moral problems. To make progress, we need to have the awakening of the Christian community to the idea that Christians can lead the way to a new prosperity.
Rich Pierce.
I believe that when the businessman really finally realizes that he has a call from God, that when he realizes that, realizes the importance of his business, he'll start to get his act together. I believe the businessman has to come into accountability. I believe God's going to start to bring finance to them. He's already started to do that with some.
Bruce Hawthorne.
Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." For years, welfare was the job of the church. So welfare has shifted from the job of the church to the job of the government, and we think it's time for that to switch back. All through the Old Testament, the Bible compelled the people to allow the gleaners to have their share, which was God's welfare system.
Dr. Ed Cole.
Giving of your money is an evidence of giving yourself, and the handling of money then begets prosperity. Prosperity is not a goal. It is always a byproduct. It is always the sequential ordered result of righteousness in the life.
Dr. R.J. Rushdoony.
God is bringing judgment on this present order. He's bringing judgment to us through the economy, which is collapsing everywhere. Larry Burkett in the coming economic earthquake has pointed out that right now 40 cents out of every federal tax dollar goes to pay the interest on the national debt. And by 96 or 99, it will be 100 cents out of every tax dollar that will go to pay the interest on the national debt. They will either have to repudiate that national debt or else inflate madly, which will again wipe out everyone. You will have such inflation that your salary will get you nothing. I believe we have to continue to work on the top levels, the
But the basic hope is from the bottom up, beginning with the family.
Jim Spillman.
The money is getting ready to fail. Now, when the money failed in Egypt, what happened? Did Joseph fall from the throne and go into disrepute? No. Why didn't he? He was prepared. God told him what to do. He did it. He was successful. The world was falling apart, but Joseph and his relatives and those who followed Joseph, you know, even the enemies, they were blessed because Joseph had prepared for the money failing, for the crops failing, and in times when everything was failing, God's man was succeeding.
Dr. Greg Bonson.
Judgment begins at the household of God. God has put his people in this world as salt and as light. When we mitigate the effect of being salt and light, then we can't be surprised that the darkness grows about us. So yeah, the light's going to have to increase, and men will then see our good works, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, and glorify the Father who is in heaven. But until we have a more pure witness to the world, we can hardly expect to see the world change.
Cal Beisner.
What we've got is Big Brother standing in the way of people being able to transmit and receive information faster and therefore cheaper than ever before. And information is the chief ingredient of the economy of the 21st century and beyond.
James Rutz.
The church has a terrible information problem. Most information reaches only 1% of the church, the pastors. It doesn't reach the layman unless the pastor somehow can manage to squeeze it into a sermon. So laymen are out of the loop, and it's been that way for 1,700 years, ever since the church put a stop to participating on Sunday morning and collapsed into an audience of spectators watching a religious ceremony. What we desperately need to do is open up the church by setting aside a time on Sunday morning when the audience can truly be a body and a family. We could even allow members to challenge each other with news of how God is working in the community and the nation. Once you let everybody in on the action, everything will change. You might even find the church turning the world upside down.
Dr. Os Guinness.
We need to get back to a salty, light-bearing type of discipleship that really has a deep sense of calling. So people, whether lawyers, teachers, working in industry or whatever, are really penetrating society for Christ's sake wherever they are.
Perhaps now you're beginning to understand why the Warfare Series is so important to you.
Listen now to a few closing thoughts. Here's Dr. Jack Hayford.
God will do nothing apart from the church and believing prayer. In deference to his son who died to redeem a church that would become the instrument of redemptive work on this planet. And so he is looking for participants. He certainly isn't waiting for us to generate some source of power here. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, Jesus said. Now go. Exercising a dominion in prayer that will break the works of darkness and that there will come a scattering of the works of hell in an advance of the kingdom. We are people of impending prophetic fulfillment.
Ed Silvoso.
The way to win a city for Christ is simply by going back to the business of holiness, unity, and intercession. In the Bay Area, 6 million people live. There are 4,400 Bible-believing churches. If each one of those churches were to come together in unity, and each one were to plant 13 neighborhood prayer cells, and each prayer cell will pray for 100 neighbors, the church in the Bay Area is already in a position to pray for 6 million people.
Dr. Dave Shibley.
I believe that God is forming a threefold cord of traditional evangelicals and warm-hearted charismatics and Pentecostals, along with those in the mainline denominations who have a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That threefold cord is wrapping together to see the world brought to an allegiance to Jesus as Lord.
John Dawson.
Our problem is that we have offended the Lord and lost his needed favor. Often what we call a spiritual stronghold is really a place where God's favor has been turned away through the sin of man and needs to be brought back. And there is a redemptive role that God's people have as intercessors. As intercessors, we go up into the gap, and we ask for God's mercy, and we confess our sins toward one another. I've never seen so many tears of repentance. I'm really encouraged.
Steve Fry.
We conquer by the cross. That has never changed. It is through humility, through brokenness, through servanthood, that we, in effect, lead the nations of the earth. And I think we've got to come back and realize that it is dominion, but a dominion predicated on our decrease, not on our efforts.
Dale Rumble.
The spirit of the world is the spirit of independence and rebellion, but the spirit of the age to come is the spirit of accountability and submission. That spirit of submission to him and to one another, and accountability, where we don't walk independent of one another, but that God builds us together as a body, as a local expression of himself. The key is finding God's government in the local church and in our family, seeing his government established in the church according to a New Testament pattern. and then out of that, seeing the church affect society.
Two sounds are heard in the church today, a sound of evacuation and a sound of occupation. If we are to prevail, we must find the keys to winning the battle for the earth. The lawlessness in the streets will never be resolved until we address the lawlessness within each of us. The Warfare Series brings the tough issues into focus with over 80 of the clearest thinkers of this generation. Dr. Jack Hayford said, "I think every Christian leader in America should listen to this important resource." In the Power Pack 6-hour segment, Ideological Warfare, you'll hear 32 of the world's most respected pastors, educators, historians, and leaders of the next move of God discuss creation versus evolution, atheism, the New Age, the New World Order, democratic socialism, and much more. Then, in the 6-hour legal warfare tapes, you'll finally understand the proper biblical role of a civil government. Then, in financial warfare, 35 leading economic authorities discuss the debt and bankruptcy crisis, the cashless society, the police state, and the New World Order, while giving you practical solutions so you can be victorious rather than a victim. The Warfare Series is the most diverse array of leadership perspectives ever assembled in a single audio resource. And now, you can purchase it for a limited time in this special offer.
I hope you've enjoyed this short sample of the Warfare Series. The Warfare Series has been called a short course in theology, ideology, law, government, and economics. And thanks to Open Church Ministries, it's available to you at the modest price of only $79.95. To help you, the listener, absorb the vast amount of information that is presented, I've written a 130-page study guide that is included in the price. Why not call to get your own set of the Warfare Series?